Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine bestselling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Yes, you are. Welcome to today's Ask Patricia Show. Just love them.
Isn't that lovely? Oh, I nearly started singing away.
Well, they are my favourite too. The fantastic Mary Mary, who opens up today's Arts Patricia Show. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have been doing a very inspirational series called Take a Woman Like You. And I've had so much feedback from all of you, loving the shows, loving the interviews. And today I've got somebody who is so inspirational. I tell you, I'm going to get her on straight away to hear her story. Let me just welcome Audrey Brown to the show. Audrey, how are you doing?
I am doing very, very well indeed. Highly blessed.
Yes, highly blessed, highly blessed. Well, do you know, Audrey, I came across your amazing story and I found out that you had survived, or overcome, I should say, cancer, not once or twice, but five times. My goodness.
Very much so. That is true, yes.
Yes. Well, you know, Audrey, as powerful as that statement is, I don't want to begin our statement just there. But I want to go back to Audrey before the diagnosis. Who were you then and what were you doing up until that point in your life?
Well, it's really amazing, as she used to say that, really, because I'm a fashion designer,
right.
Textile, mm-hmm. fine artist
right.
by trade, mm-hmm. and up-and-coming actress as well. And I've just been sort of like, you know, come from a beautiful, close-knit family.
Yes,
yes. Very close with my late mum.
Okay.
You know, just really getting on with my life and mm-hmm. designing and mm-hmm. much. And plus, I was very, very much into keep fit. So I was doing, you know, always at the gym in the morning.
Right.
So go to the Fitness First gym in Tottenham every single morning and be working out and training. Because
excellent.
I was very, very much into health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, health and fitness.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where you started out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'd imagine then when you came across that diagnosis, you were not looking for that at all.
Well, it's the way it actually happened really is it's February 2001.
Yes.
And I'd been going to the fitness first gym in the morning, and every morning I work out, as I said before.
Mm-hmm.
And after I do my exercise regime, I always have a steam shower with the girls.
Sure.
And then, you know, and then pop off, you know, go home, and then, you know, carry on working, doing the technical
right,
hours.
Right.
And but then for some unknown reason, there was a voice within me
really
that said, this time,
mm-hmm.
don't sort of like go and shower at the gym.
Okay.
Go home and
right.
have a shower.
All right.
So I followed the voice, jumped
yes.
into the car,
yes.
and as soon as I, you know, flew into the house, got in the shower,
mm-hmm.
and started washing.
Right.
And as I was washing, and you know, as us ladies do,
yeah.
you know, we're very much body conscious.
Of course.
And as I was putting my sliding my hand down the left side,
yes.
Side of my breast,
mm-hmm.
I felt a nodule, a
right.
left like a little. Not stubbly sort of
mm-hmm.
lump,
right?
And I literally screamed, sort
my
of
gosh.
You know,
yes.
yeah,
yes.
And the reason why I screamed like that really is because I've had two siblings
mm-hmm.
That have passed away from different types of cancers,
right? Right.
So that fear was the initial
it's,
sort of
yeah.
strong fear was there.
Yes, of course.
So my mum came flying down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
You heard me sort of thing, and they tried to calm me down and
right.
comfort me.
Yes.
And then I said, Mum, look, I can feel something.
Mm.
And
mm.
so straight away,
right.
Mum got on the phone and rang Tynemouth Road Clinic.
Right.
And tried to get an appointment. And luckily there was an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So we got down there as soon as possible.
Right.
So I had a checkup, and my GP at the time, obviously, he said, being young.
Yes.
I said, oh, this doesn't really look like anything
mm.
serious. It just looks like fibrous tissue.
Right.
So
yes.
don't need to worry about
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
But at the back of my mind, even though you know, my GP was saying, you
mm-hmm.
know, just get on with your life, I
mm-hmm.
was still thinking.
Right.
But then I went away and
yes.
still got on with my life.
Right.
The next couple of months to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And the weirdest thing, as the months went by,
right.
I noticed that the swelling was changing.
Is that right?
I noticed that sometimes it would feel hard.
Yes.
Sometimes the shape would change.
Right.
So we decided to get together with the family and have a meeting, and then for me to go and have a second opinion.
Uh-huh.
So I went back now to my GP now,
mm-hmm.
and then this time
yes.
he didn't waste any time, and he said, look,
right.
we've got to definitely send you up
yes.
to the North Middlesex Hospital
okay.
to have a mammogram and biopsy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that was early June.
Okay.
And it was one of the scariest moments of my life.
Okay.
The scariest moments
yes.
of my
was it,
life.
Was it the anticipation, what was going to happen?
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll never forget that this is the 26th of June of 2001.
Right.
When I had the mammogram and the biopsy, and they said, you've got to come back in 7 days.
Right.
Yeah, and that would be the 2nd of July,
mm-hmm.
2001.
Yes.
For those 7 days that went by
yes.
was like the longest time
yes,
of my life.
Of course it would
and
be.
I'm telling you, and mm-hmm. everywhere I turned,
mm-hmm.
all I could see
yes.
were adverts to do with cancer.
Yeah.
If
this
I
is
switched
it.
On
yes.
ITV,
right.
there'd be an advert.
Yes.
If I picked up a magazine,
oh my
the
gosh.
Page would fly open.
Indeed.
And it was
oh.
almost as if it was a sign. And it's almost as if the Holy Spirit is just talking to me.
Yes.
And a voice.
Yes.
That
yes.
voice again.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So let me ask you, I know that you refer quite a bit to your mother, who had very strong faith.
Yes.
Did you have a strong faith of your own, or did you tend to lean more on your mother? Where were you at that point?
I think at that point, I mean, having grown up in the church,
right.
and my mum being, as I said before, being a devout Christian,
yes.
Seventh-day Adventist,
yes.
I was I would say I was very, very, very much so quite deep in the church,
yes,
at the time.
Yes.
And I think going through having that first initial diagnosis,
mm-hmm,
it rocked me.
Mm-hmm.
It rocked me.
Yes.
Very much so. You know, and obviously there were so many nights that I cried out to God, you know, why, you know, not blaming God, but
right, just
the initial question that you're asking is,
yes,
my God, why me?
Indeed.
You know, to me,
yes,
in that respect. But having my mum there, as somebody she was known, because my mum passed away in last February.
All right.
And having mum, she's, to me, was my Sheila Butler, and a prayer warrior, and such a solid, strong arm of faith.
Right.
Because everything to mum was the Bible, literally, all the time. From growing up, all I ever saw my mum, apart from cooking a big pot every time, opening up the house to millions of people.
Yes.
With the Bible, you see, and that strong faith.
Yeah.
And up until the first day when I was first diagnosed, I remember sitting in the room in the breast clinic and North Middlesex Hospital, and I remember the breast care nurse speaking to me.
Yes.
And when she said the words, unfortunately.
Yes.
When she said those words, unfortunately.
Yes.
Before she even got to the C.
Yes, yes.
I knew.
You knew.
I knew. And straight there and then, my mum sat right next to me. My mum squeezed my hand.
Right.
You know, really sort of squeezed my hand tightly.
Yes,
as support.
Yes, yes.
And at the time, the oncologist, Dr. Atho, she was called Dr. Atho.
Right.
She said, look, it's actually stage 2 breast cancer, and it had been growing in the breast for 1 year.
Is that right? A whole year? Gosh.
One whole year it had been growing.
Yes.
But nevertheless, we're going to do something about it. And, you know.
Yes.
And then after that now, I had a lumpectomy,
right,
to remove the lump, and I also had radiotherapy treatment, extensive treatment, and I had the auxiliary glands, lymph nodes removed from the left side, and we thought that was the end of that,
right,
but in March 2004, it came back again on the right-hand side.
Right.
And this time, because during all of that time, I'd been going for all my checkups. I'd been going for all the mammograms and the different blood tests and the scans.
Yes.
One thing I cannot fault the oncology team for, they were so apt and very on point.
Right.
And they don't miss anything.
Excellent.
And, you know, nothing at all.
Excellent.
Which was absolutely incredible.
Of course, yes.
And we, as a family, we developed such a, especially myself and mum, we developed such a close relationship with the oncology team.
Right.
Which was absolutely, absolutely wonderful support mechanism.
Yes, yes.
And so I had to have another lumpectomy on the left-hand side, the right-hand side this time, sorry.
Yes, yes.
And more extensive radiotherapy treatment.
Right.
And the lymph nodes removed again.
Again, yes. Can I ask what was the overall effects on your body? Because obviously this must have taken a lot out of you.
Oh, I'm telling you, because I having the two lumpectomies, because when I get to the third stage now, you feel when you're having your body cut and having all these bits removed, you feel, how can I say, what's the word, I'm going to describe the word,
right,
you actually feel, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say dismembered, right. but you sort of feel that you're not complete,
right?
In one respect,
yes, yes.
You know, you mm-hmm. feel mm-hmm. because especially when I was diagnosed a third time,
right? Yes.
This was 2006.
Okay.
When it came back on the left breast again,
mm-hmm.
so it seemed to be jumping from one.
This is it.
One, which
yes.
was really quite a phenomena
yes.
for the oncology team, and I was quite a phenomenal case for them.
Okay. Okay.
And this time now, sorry to cut you.
Mm-hmm.
This time now, it was decided it's best to have a mastectomy.
Is that right?
And. As I said, the oncology team was so wonderful, and
yes.
the breast care nurse team.
Yes.
And they actually showed me a picture of what I would look like, or what a person
mm-hmm.
would look like once the breast has actually been removed.
Right.
And when I saw the picture, it was actually you see a lovely picture of a woman.
Okay.
And then you see a breast, a full breast, and
right.
on the other side you just
yes.
see a line.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it absolutely made me feel sick.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Audrey.
Mm. Absolutely made
yeah.
me feel sick before
yes.
I'd even had the operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt that I would be lopsided.
Okay. Okay.
You see, like the balance with our body
yeah.
being symmetry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
how did you come to terms with this? Because this is not easy. It's almost part of your femininity, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was coming to because
mm-hmm.
there were so many thoughts going around in my mind.
Right.
Because at the time, I was with a partner.
Okay.
Who was absolutely really supportive, and
mm-hmm.
from, as I say, from a femininity
right.
point of view,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do feel it's really weird though, because when I had the mastectomy done, I remember lying in the bed,
yes,
and I remember sort of waking up sort of thing from the operation and coming from the recovery room. And
right.
And looking down, the first thing I wanted to see is just to look down. And every time, the amazing thing is that every time I had an operation,
yes.
the first person that I would see when I wake up was my mom.
Oh, okay.
Always,
yes.
always.
Yes.
She was absolutely faithful.
Oh.
I mean, I had support from all family members
mm-hmm.
and millions of friends.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
And a huge network of people.
Right.
But my mum was literally constantly always
there. Always
and
there.
Every blood test,
oh.
every mammogram,
yes.
everything.
Excellent.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful woman.
Yes.
Incredible.
Oh.
Second to none.
Yes.
But
yes.
As I said, laying in the bed, and, and I looked down straight away because I just wanted to see, am I going to look?
Yeah, of course.
Am I just going to look weird and
yeah.
just look sort of like emasculated
yeah.
sort of thing?
Mm.
And when I looked down,
yes.
there were two breasts.
Oh,
sort of
my
thing.
Goodness.
No, the weirdest thing, there were two breasts, but
yeah.
When I looked, it was all the padding.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was
I
the actual
see.
Padding around
yes.
the area that had been operated on.
Yes, yes.
But the first time that I saw the scar, and I looked in the mirror, I felt really, it was absolutely horrible. I just didn't even want to look. I mean, they did
yes.
One thing I would say, they did a
yes.
fabulous job with all of the
yes.
operations that I've had.
All
the
right.
lumpectomies and
yes.
the mastectomies.
Yes.
They did an incredible. But initially waking up and
yes.
looking at it and seeing
yes.
it for the first time,
yes.
I
yes.
absolutely felt really horrified.
Yeah, wow, yeah. I mean, what a shock. Audrey, I've got to go for a tiny break here now.
Lovely, yeah.
But let's come back on the other side and talk some more.
Please do.
All right.
Oh, I like this.
It's hot. Yeah,
it's serious. listen. Just be patient. You're waiting for your harvest to come. Now don't you be stressing. These trials that you're facing, they are there just to make you strong. Don't worry about your enemies with all the negativity and trying to break you down. It's just a test. You're about to be blessed, and the Lord will say, well done, well done. Keep your head up. Oh yeah. He said he never leave you. No, he forsake you. So hold your head up to the sky.
No need to weep. Oh, no need to moan. No need to be sad and crying. Dry your eyes. Ooh, rejoice. And be glad for your season. Just know you have a friend in me, the man that you can trust, you see, and he will never let you down.
This is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine best-selling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Yes, you are, and I've still got that amazing lady with me, Audrey Brown, who's sharing her amazing, fantastic story of overcoming, surviving cancer, not once or twice, but five times. How are you doing there, Audrey?
Hey, as I said before, I am absolutely feeling fabulous. Yes, I'm full of life.
I love when you say that. Well, listen, I really want us to take a moment because you were sharing with me just before you went to the break, the moments when the oncologist came out and told you and used the words, unfortunately, you knew exactly what you were in store for.
Definitely.
And you went on to share about, you know, the power and the strength of your mother being there with you, supporting you the whole way through.
Definitely. Well, I tell you, it's even though it's been such a hard journey, and even though it's been such a difficult journey, I said by the time I'd been diagnosed the second and the third time, it suddenly dawned on me, that it wasn't necessarily about the cancer. That it was about the cancer,
right?
But it was more about what it was, how it was shaping me as
really?
A person.
Okay.
Yes, and how I started to look on the world in a totally different way.
Wow.
And many things that I'd probably been afraid of in the past.
Yes.
Totally didn't you know, I wasn't afraid of at all anymore.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because by the time I'd been diagnosed the third and the fourth time, I, as I say, the third time and the fourth time, I had to have both the breasts removed, and that was within a year each.
Gosh.
And the thought of having no breasts as a woman, absolutely horrified me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Absolutely. And at times, even sort of like going out with the girls and things like that.
Yes.
And, you know, because both breasts had been removed by then, I was wearing what you call a prosthetis.
Right.
They're breast size, actually life size and breast size.
Okay.
And, and I'd wear a special mastectomy bra and actually put each prosthetis in one side of the both sides of the bra.
I
each.
See. Yes.
And it was very strange wearing a prosthetis first of all. But as time went on, I actually got used to it.
Is that right?
You know, because it's funny how when you the thing that you fear the worst, it actually becomes a catalyst for your for a change.
Okay.
For the better for your life.
Is that right? Now, why do you say change for the better? Because no one's going to sit there and think, oh my gosh, this is going to be for the better, you know?
I think that the reason why I say a change for the better is... way back when I was first diagnosed in 2001, my mum encouraged me to write a journal.
Okay.
And at the time, because my head was all over the place, I was, you know, I didn't know whether I was coming or going.
Right.
But I just started to write journals, and they turned into hundreds of journals.
Oh, my goodness.
Hundreds of them.
Yes.
And... it suddenly made me realize that having gone through this journey, it was a horrible journey to go through.
Okay.
Rough journey.
Yes.
But what made it spectacular and what made it, and actually, it actually turned into a gem. And the reason why I said it turned into a gem is because through it, I became a stronger person.
Right.
Through it, you know, my mother always encouraged me to never give up, to just keep holding on, to keep and the gifts that God had blessed me with. I found that through that now, I was able to develop to work a lot more on my art, and to use my experience, and actually paint. You know, use my experience and paint a lot of fine art and a lot of textiles.
Yes.
And from the experience, I developed a collection called My Survivor's Journey. And I actually did art therapy. And I did a painting, My Survivor's Tale.
Okay.
In the actual painting.
Yes.
And it actually tells... through using graphic and sort of like using arty images, the actual essence of my journey.
Yes.
I actually met some other survivors of breast cancer as well, through going to different drop-in centres.
Right.
And I took part in various fashion shows, wearing up prosthetis, and and that gave me great confidence.
Is
again,
that right? Yes.
With my body.
Yes.
That actually sort of made me believe in myself as a woman again.
Of course. Yes.
And in 2008, I had both my breasts built back again.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, it's phenomenal.
Wow, amazing.
And
wow, how did that feel then, Audrey?
Well, it absolutely felt incredible.
Yes.
Because the strangest thing really is I'd pondered about having the operation.
Yes.
Because it was actually a 10-hour operation. It was done at the Royal Free.
Gosh.
And my mom especially was so concerned about me being under the anaesthetic for 10 hours.
For so long, yes.
And for so long.
Yes.
And she actually sat there literally the whole day from the morning right through.
Oh, what a mum.
Absolutely incredible until I came up from the recovery room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely, when I look now at my breasts now.
Yes.
They're better than the ones I had before. I know it sounds corny, because they're not going to drop.
No, oh my goodness. Well, that's something, Audrey. That's something.
They're absolutely phenomenal, and you wouldn't tell any different because they've done, it's beautiful. What they've done is they've taken my latissimus dorsi muscles from the back of my back and swung them both round.
Oh my gosh.
To make breasts.
Amazing.
Yes, and then you've got like the implants behind.
Yeah.
That's which fantastic. Is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Absolute phenomenal breakthrough.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Operation.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely wonderful. And
yes.
It felt wonderful to wear normal bras again.
Yes. I'm sure. Now, Audrey, like going back to your womanhood and your femininity, as you say, breasts are so important to a woman. But what about your hair? Did the treatment affect your hair as a black woman? You know, that's a big deal.
Well, phenomenally. And the weirdest thing is that my hair didn't drop at all. Not one centimetre dropped.
Wow.
If anything, it got thicker.
Gosh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If anything, and it absolutely amazed many people.
Yeah.
Friends I grew up with, church friends,
yes.
family.
Yes.
Was really sort of shocked to know that I'd been through all of this.
Yes.
And my hair was just,
instead
of it dropping, it was growing.
Gosh, that I've never heard of that before.
No, seriously. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my god.
Absolutely.
Gosh. Amazing. So, do you actually see yourself as a cancer survivor, or do you not use that expression?
Well, the weirdest thing is I'm very, very proud to say that I am a survivor of breast cancer.
Are
I'm
you?
Very proud of it.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, even though it took many, many years.
Yes.
Because it's been actually a 13, nearly 14 years battle.
Ooh.
I've been living with it for 13 and a half, nearly 14 years.
Yes.
And the word cancer back then was, you know, it was just such a taboo. And
of
it
course.
Still is a taboo to for many people.
Yes.
But we've come such a long way now with technology. And
I
had such a lot of help with through the Macmillan, as well as the oncology teams at both the North Middlesex Hospital and the Royal Free Hospital, but also the Macmillan Cancer Relief Association and team were phenomenal in really helping me and cancer back up as well.
Yes.
And, you know, the many other different organisations. And
also,
the Somerset Garden Volunteers, they are at a drop-in centre.
Right.
Quite local to us in Tottenham.
Okay.
Who really have been a great help to me and my mom, late mom, family as well. And you know, and it's been a hard journey,
mm-hmm.
but a
mm-hmm.
magical journey.
Yes.
Having met so many wonderful people.
All right.
And so many wonderful survivors of the same, that have gone through a similar experience as myself.
Yes, yes.
And and I've learned so much about myself as a woman.
Interesting. Do you know what, Audrey? I feel listening to you that I've got so many things I want to ask you. I've only got 5 minutes left.
Oh.
I think this isn't any good. I need to, do you know what? I'm going to have to book you again.
Oh, that would be lovely. That
That would be absolutely phenomenal.
I'm going to have to book you again, darling. I will, because I want to do justice to your story, you know?
Oh, definitely, darling.
I have to do justice.
Yes.
All right, but let me just ask you just one or two questions. I mean, has it made you have a different approach towards your health? Because some people, you know, they say we are what we eat. Do you eat differently? Do you think it has anything to do with diet? How do you feel?
Yes, I certainly do. Because, I mean, and it's funny when we're talking about diet now, because... Yes. I juice a lot.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes, a lot of health juices, a lot of green juices.
All right.
A lot of fruits as well.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm very, 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 very health conscious when it comes to what I put in my mouth as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I'm actually working on... a recipe book as well.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, no.
Gosh, there's so much to you.
Yeah, thank you.
There is.
And some health recipes as well.
Right.
And putting together, maybe if possible, to publish it as well alongside my book.
Yes.
That I'm working on as well.
Oh, well, you must do. You must
definitely.
Do. Yeah, it's got to be done. Well, listen, oh, my goodness. I just feel so frustrated now.
Oh, no.
All right, but listen, can I just ask you to do this one thing for me?
Yes.
I mean, you've come out of this so much more resilient, as you say. You've turned
Thank
a bad
you.
Thing into a good thing.
Definitely.
What if there's somebody listening, Audrey, that doesn't have your fortitude, that doesn't have somebody like your mum to encourage her and to be with her? What kind of hope can you give to somebody who stood in that position? Oh my God, this is a death sentence. Why me? What can you say?
What will I say to them?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny though, because I do speak to a lot of survivors that have just been newly diagnosed.
Yes.
And what I would say to them is that there is hope at the end of the day.
Wonderful.
There is a lot of hope because it's funny though, because whenever the I go to a lot of drop-in centres and different occasions and meetups that they have, and they ask me how many times, and I said I've been diagnosed, and I said 5 times.
Wow.
And a few of them have had been diagnosed once or twice.
Yes.
And they said, "You're kidding me!" And they're so shocked, you know.
Exactly.
And I just say to them, "Well, look, look at my life.
Wow.
And I'm still here.
Yes.
And I've had it 5 times.
My gosh.
Gosh. And I'm still here trying to build a business.
Yes.
Working on my art and building and doing all sorts of wonderful things, living life.
This is it.
And what I will say again to somebody who's just been newly diagnosed really is, yes, it's going to be an initial shock.
Indeed.
You know, it will be. And yes, it's a fear, especially if you're new to that world, the world of cancer.
Indeed.
But just to say, once the treatment sets in, is to to have a lot of healthy foods, a lot of smoothies, a lot of to eat healthy, still eat healthy, and to try to get back to normal as soon as possible.
Right.
I know it sounds very strange, but try to keep on keeping on with your life. Like with me, my mum encouraged me to write the journals.
Yes.
Keep writing the journals.
Yes.
Keep on with your art.
Mm.
Keep on with the textile.
Keep
going on.
Yes. Keep being you. Keep being you.
Thank you very much. You put it in a nutshell.
Yes,
keep being you.
Oh,
because
powerful.
The whole idea of this journey, of this journey, it's a learning curve.
Yes.
And it's taught me so much about life.
Wow. Well, Audrey, what can I tell you? I'm just inspired. I know our listeners are going to be inspired. And yet there's more to come, because you and I definitely have to talk.
Definitely. We will. Again.
Thank you so much again, Audrey. You've been a delight. Well, listeners, I do hope you are as inspired as I have been. Audrey Brown there. She's coming back to join me on the Ask Patricia show. So make sure you're listening in. I've been your host, Patricia Benjamin. I'm here next time for more. Take care.
Lost touch with my soul. turn, I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength. Survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up. To know.